Good evening and welcome to your KMUD News. I'm April Lewis, reporting for KMUD from our studios in Southern Humboldt. Before the news, I'd like to invite you to support our spring drive, April 13th to the 22nd. Your donation helps us broaden our programming and keep you up to date with local news. Go to kmud.org and click the donate button. You can also give us a call at 707-923-3911. We really appreciate any amount you can give. Every day it costs $1,600 to run the station. That's $66 every hour, or about a dollar per minute. Our CPB funding isn't coming back anytime soon, as the Corporation for Public Broadcasting has now officially dissolved, and now our members account for one quarter of our funding. To keep our news broadcast going, we need your help. I'd like to emphasize that without this funding, without your donations, we will struggle to maintain the emergency and breaking news coverage we have brought you in the past. That includes coverage in North Mendocino and areas of Southern Humboldt with elevated fire risk, especially in this dry year. As your news director, I would like nothing more than to bring you the most comprehensive, accurate, and up-to-date emergency coverage possible. But we need the staff and resources to make it happen. Please help us as we continue to provide this essential service. Please donate. The membership drive will be this month from the 13th to the 22nd. And we appreciate all of you who have given your money and time to help KMUD. You can give at kmud.org and click the green donate button or give us a call at 707-923-3911. And now, the news. Welcome to the news. We'll start with a rundown of today's top stories. Starting off in state news, Congressperson Eric Swalwell has suspended his campaign for California governor. In a statement on X, Swalwell stated, "To my family, staff, friends, and supporters, I am deeply sorry for mistakes and judgment I've made in my past. I will fight the serious, false allegations that have been made, but that's my fight, not the campaign's." The San Francisco Chronicle had previously reported on an allegation by a Swalwell staffer that the representative had sexually assaulted her while intoxicated. This resulted in many high-level staff leaving Swalwell's campaign and political allies dropping their endorsements, including Senator Adam Schiff and California's 2nd District Representative Jared Huffman. Which candidate Swalwell's ample support base will turn to remains unclear, and Democrats still do not have a clear frontrunner in the governor's race. We will continue to bring you coverage on the race for governor throughout the coming weeks. Swalwell's political future is also unclear, as multiple members of the House of Representatives are now calling for his expulsion. Expulsion votes are extremely rare, with the last one in 2023 resulting in Republican George Santos being expelled from the chamber. That case was only the 6th expulsion in the history of the House. Expulsion calls have already come from Representatives Jared Huffman, Pramila Jayapal, and Lager Fernandez. Eric Swalwell currently represents California's 14th district, stretching east from Alameda County in the East Bay all the way through Dublin and Livermore to the start of California's Central Valley near Tracy. Next, the storm cycle that made its way through Northern California over the weekend dropped notable snowfall totals in the Northern Sierra. Palisades Tahoe reported 14 inches of snow, while lower down in Truckee, 7 inches of snow was reported. Far greater totals were reported further south, where the Mammoth Mountain area received 42.5 inches, according to the UC Berkeley Central Sierra Snow Lab. The storm isn't expected to significantly help California's drought, with snow levels across the Sierra at 18% of normal before the storm. For our local weather, more rain is in the forecast this week, with the National Weather Service in Eureka predicting widespread light to medium rainfall for the North Coast starting Wednesday morning. The storm is expected to start in our most northern regions and make its way south throughout the day. Highest expected rainfall totals are for northern parts of Humboldt County and Del Norte County. We'll provide an update tomorrow if that forecast changes. In national news, on Sunday, President Trump launched a tirade against Pope Leo XIV, stating in a post on Truth Social with the quote, "Pope Leo is weak on crime and terrible for foreign policy." The president went on to state, "Leo should get his act together as Pope, use common sense, stop catering to the radical left, and focus on being a great Pope, not a politician. It's hurting him very badly, and more importantly, it's hurting the Catholic Church." Trump followed the remarks by posting an AI-generated picture of himself as Jesus Christ, which was removed from the Truth Social site on Monday. Although Trump stated in front of the Oval Office that he would not apologize for the remarks themselves, the president stated, "I'm just responding to Pope Leo. There's nothing to apologize for. He's wrong. The comments were made as a McDonald's food delivery reached the Oval Office. Pope Leo responded Monday morning, stating to reporters, "I have no fear of the Trump administration or speaking out loudly of the message of the gospel, which is what I believe I am here to do." In local news, the Samoa Peninsula Fire District announced their 12th annual perch fishing tournament, Perchin' on the Peninsula, happening Saturday, April 18th, 2026, at the Peninsula Union School, located at 909 Vance Avenue in Samoa. The press release reads, "This beloved community event is more than just a fishing competition. It's a fundraiser dedicated to supporting the Samoa Peninsula Fire District. The day will begin packed with fishing, delicious food, and exciting raffle prizes. Lunch begins at noon, with weigh-ins at 2 p.m. and raffle prizes at 3 p.m. All proceeds from this event go directly to the Samoa Peninsula Fire District, helping to fund vital equipment and support for our local firefighters. For more information, visit the Samoa Peninsula Fire District on Facebook, email samoafire@gmail.com, or call 707-599-3383. In good news, formerly missing Rio Del resident Georgia Burns was spotted in the Dinsmore area. First reported by Redheaded Black Belt, Burns was confirmed as in contact with several members of the community. Georgia had previously been reported missing after leaving her home late Thursday evening. Lastly, the California Department of Cannabis Control is continuing to make amendments to propose new regulations for pesticide testing. Public comment is now open, and you can contact the DCC or go on their website for more information on the proposed regulations. Public comments on proposed pesticide regulations can be sent to the DCC Legal Affairs Division, 2920 Kilgore Road in Rancho Cordova, California, 95670, or at publiccomment@cannabis.ca.gov. Please submit your comment in writing to the DCC during the public comment period, which runs through April 28th. Verbal comments cannot be accepted. And now to our main stories. We have Daniel Mintz reporting on the Humboldt County Health Survey and Gabriel Zucker reporting on the return of commercial salmon fishing. But first, an obituary for our friend Al. Alfred Hugo Serrallo, affectionately known to many of us as Al, died on April 3rd, 2026, peacefully at his home with his wife, Ligaya. He is survived by his beloved wife of 12 years, his stepsons, Bob Howard and Jason Kether Peterson, his sister, Marie Zare, nephews David and Michael, and many other relatives and dear friends. He was preceded in death by his parents, Mary and Henry Serrallo, his brother, Paul Serrallo, and his good friend and collaborator in theater, radio, and writing, Jacob Schaefer. He was born on April 25, 1945, and began his life in Queens, New York, before the family moved to Massapequa Park, Long Island, also in New York. Born the baby of the family, his sister Marie says Al was the favorite child, always cute and mischievous, and often posed with an Irish cap, set on his curls just crooked enough to make a statement. She said he was always a talented artist, and won a scholarship to art school before dropping out. He went to work in the art department of an ad agency in New York City, but eventually set off for the West Coast in 1970 in a truck painted with flowers, which surprised none of his family. His love of debating politics, drawing, and playing baseball were all passed down through members of his family. Marie remembered that even though he made her crazy debating politics with her, he had a knack for resolving it with love and humor. She said no one could stay mad at him. Al's love of baseball started with his father. Marie said their father was invited to try out for the Dodgers, but a foot injury kept him from playing for them. Their family were all Yankee fans, and Al proudly wore his Yankees cap around Humboldt County. He was also an active player in the So Hum Hippie Softball League and was proud to be a Buzzard. He moved from New York to Hape Ashbury in San Francisco, but wanted to buy a piece of land, so he and his partner at the time drove north in his Nash Rambler and rambled through the northern part of the state in search of a place that felt like home. He was part of the Wheeler Ranch community before finally settling on Sohum, where he was one of 10 land partners in the community they named Hokahe. He said he could hear his heart pounding as they walked on the land, knowing it was the right place. It was here that Al started another career, writing screenplays and theatrical plays, which he knew he could do from anywhere. His longtime friend, fellow Hokahe land partner, and theatrical collaborator, Joni Rose, remembers Al saying he sang doo-wop on the street corners as a kid, and there were often doo-wop songs in his plays, reflecting his love of that music. As an active and happy member of the Back to the Land and early Grow It in the Sun movements, Al had lots of material for his writing. One of his proudest memories was outfoxing camp, at least for a while. He remembered seeing a camp helicopter loaded with a bag of cut cannabis plants flying overhead as he was driving home one day, feeling sorry for the owner, and then finding out it had been his crop. He wrote compelling screenplays that caught Hollywood's attention, and in 1978, founded the Pierre Schmidt Players, a talented Soham theatrical troupe that put on several all-original plays, many of which cleverly skewered politics, the local industry, and hippie life. A documentary of some of his work has been produced, and he had writing credits on Gondrosaurus Rex, the cult classic, as well as 1987, Aries Moon, and Stealing Us Blind. He also did stand-up comedy with his friend, Paul Basis. He continued writing, directing, and acting until just a few years ago, entertaining generations of humble folks for more than 40 years. He mentored countless people, young and old, in acting, writing, and directing. Hulu recently interviewed Al and others for their upcoming cannabis-focused anthology documentary series titled 4x20 Quick Hits, which will include The Legend of Gondrosaurus Rex. It is produced by Jimmy Kimmel's Kimmelot Productions and will premiere on 4/20, appropriately. Al also created, with Paul Basis, and later Fred in the Hills, a popular K-Mud community radio show called Thank Yah It's Friday, which is now in its 35th year, in spite of his groans at dragging him out of bed to be funny and intelligent at 9 a.m. He loved the spontaneity of never knowing who would be calling or on what topic. His favorite opening line to each caller was, "What you got?" He was a host until a year ago, when his health caused him to step back. He often said the last 12 years of his life were the happiest because of his wife, Ligaya. Al was a spiritual person, though not a member of any organized religion, and believed our life journeys come from the experiences and challenges our souls feel when they need to grow. He was also happy with his own journey and said he would do it all over again. People loved his curiosity about everything, his genuine interest in what others thought. Total strangers became his lifelong friends after one conversation. He made folks laugh every time they saw him, and he challenged people to think about ideas in different ways. He was a vibrant part of this community for more than 50 years, in sports, theater, radio, humor, and giving people reasons to connect with one another. Ligaya thanks everyone who visited, called, texted, and sent good thoughts. Al enjoyed them all and was his humorous, sharp self throughout. She is also grateful for all the help from Heart of the Redwoods Hospice. Plans are being made for a memorial for Al, including showings of his hilarious plays. From all of us at K-Mud, I'm April Lewis.
Seeking to tell the story of community health, a Humboldt County survey on healthcare needs will inform an updated community health improvement plan. The survey and its significance was discussed by Marion Strong, a program coordinator with the county's public health branch, in an April 8th online presentation to the Community Economic Resilience Consortium. The survey, known as the Community Health Assessment, concludes April 15th after 5 weeks of work, and Strong described what it is and what it seeks to do.
It's really, when you think about it, like a checkup for the entire community. It gives us a comprehensive picture of local health, what's working well, the challenges we face. We review data from various sources, including things like cancer rates, prenatal care, youth commercial tobacco use, and data that's also collected with surveys, key informant interviews, and focus groups in this process. So when looking at the CHA, what really matters is it tells us the story of community health, the conditions that help residents thrive, as well as the barriers that hold us back. It identifies our most important health issues, unmet health needs, and existing strengths that we can build on. It guides city leaders like yourselves, public agencies, community organizations, in understanding what our residents in Humboldt County truly need. It also helps us ensure that decisions about programs, policies, funding are grounded in real data rather than assumptions.
The last survey was completed in 2022, and Strong said it identified four priority areas for the plan: suicide prevention, substance use, housing instability and homelessness, and adverse childhood experiences. The health improvement effort is done through a collaborative group, Live Well Humboldt. Another aspect of the health improvement quest is an online information resource, the Community Health Data Dashboard. It can be accessed at the same website where the survey can be taken at livewellhumboldt.org. Kerry Venegas of Changing Tides Family Services is on the Live Well Humboldt Steering Committee, and she described how the community health information translates into action.
For a lot of us who are community organizations, who are the ones that are kind of boots on the ground, in addition to our county folks, trying to address these health disparities and issues within the community, this is invaluable because it does actually guide a lot of the advocacy, like, for example, that my agency does around mental health and around well-being. So when I'm on state visits, when I'm doing legislative visits, when I'm talking to our congressional members, this is information in my hip pocket. And then when we go and we write for money, so whether it's to foundations or contracts or even applying for grants, this is one piece of the data from that dashboard that really helps us be very specific and concrete about the needs in our community and be able to back it up with data. So in that way, I think the question about, like, you know, does this help shape policy? Does this help, you know, bring resources in? Definitely.
Greg Foster of the Redwood Region Economic Development Commission, the meeting's host, asked how the survey is used to implement healthcare improvements. Strong said the previous survey and the current version of the health improvement plan identified a troubling issue, a, quote, very high rate of suicide in Humboldt County, which the county and community organizations are addressing. Noting that the consortium is about economic resilience, Foster linked community health to economic health.
Those of us who are, you know, self-described economic developers need to continue to realize that, you know, our ultimate goal is to improve the human condition, right? That's by through economic means and the quality of life of people. And so that's the most important thing. But it's also, I think, important to talk about, you know, if we are trying to encourage investment in our community from businesses, and we tend to, of course, tend toward the smaller, not all completely, but smaller sort of owner proximate businesses, that a healthy, not only access to healthcare and all that, which we talk a lot about in other infrastructure, housing, you know, but that, you know, one of the selling points of any community, of course, is how healthy this population is. That's a really good indicator, I think, of how good the community is and how healthy it is.
Foster added, he's hoping, quote, there is progress being made on some of those things that we can use to talk up our community as a place to invest. For KMUD News, this is Daniel Mintz.
On Sunday, April 12th, the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, or CDFW, announced a return of commercial ocean salmon fishing for 2026, thanks to the Sacramento River Fall Run Chinook and the Klamath River Fall Run Chinook. Salmon are making a comeback, with more opportunities for commercial fishing. This announcement comes after commercial salmon fishing was closed for 3 straight years due to a lack of salmon in the area. Now, after multiple dam removals and an amazing resurgence of Chinook salmon in the Klamath and Sacramento River, fish populations are finally at a point where the CDFW is comfortable bringing back commercial fishing. KMUD talked with Steve Gonzalez, the public information officer for CDFW. He spoke about the excitement of the announcement.
Decision was made by the Pacific Fisheries Management Council over the weekend that there's going to be a fishery that's ocean fishery that's open this year. So it's pretty exciting news. It's the first time in 3 years that we've had commercial fishery that's open for salmon. And, you know, last year we had a small couple days for recreational fishing for salmon, but this year it's going to be much longer duration and more fish. So the numbers are trending upward for the count of salmon, and they're going in the right direction. And so we're excited. This is good news, and we're just hoping that these numbers keep trending in an upward direction.
The announcement comes after a complete closure in 2023 and 2024, and only 6 open days in 2025. According to the CDFW website's 2026 Ocean Salmon Sport Regulation, the season differs slightly depending on the location. For Northern California, the Klamath Management Zone and the Fort Bragg Zone will be open between June 13th to July 19th, and then reopen August 1st to the 31st. The harvest guideline for the Klamath Management Zone sit at 3,900 Chinook, and Fort Bragg is capped at 5,100 Chinook. These dates can change depending on salmon counts throughout the season. Gonzalez talked about different ways they will keep count, and added that action may be taken if the total harvest is approaching the fall harvest guideline earlier than expected.
We are going to have people out there that are monitoring, that are taking numbers as you may be coming back to the marina with a catch, and we'll record that. And so when we reach those limits or those catch limits, the fishery may close if we've reached that threshold.
The CDFW is approaching this season and future seasons with a long-term science-based strategy, using the official California Salmon Strategy for a hotter, drier future. Gonzalez talked about this approach and how it will be used in the future.
The hotter, drier futures, the salmon strategy, just to do some things knowing about the future of California, climate change, the warming of our waters, more wildfires. So this is all taken into account, and we've come up with some strategies that we can do for future years so we don't see a decline in, hopefully a decline like we saw in the last few years. But those numbers stay strong, they stay healthy, and because of these strategies that that we're doing for salmon for the future and for the future health, we're hoping those numbers keep increasing. We're looking into, you know, dams coming down is helpful for more habitat for salmon. That's been really helpful on the Klamath. The other things that we're doing is strategizing about when to release salmon, how to release salmon, when to release them, you know, earlier or later in the season. So we're trying different strategies that seem to be working well. We're going to continue doing that. But it's a balance. It's a balance with all of us. It's a balance with weather. It's a balance with water use. It's a balance with people wanting to fish in commercial fisheries. So I think working together with all of these things in mind, we can get to a point where we have a strong fishery and it's consistently open for the public.
According to the press release, sport anglers are advised to check for updated information when planning a salmon fishing trip. Season dates, harvest guidelines, catch limits, bag, possession, vessel limit information, and gear restrictions can be found on CDFW's Ocean Salmon Fishery Information webpage, or by calling the CDFW Ocean Salmon Regulations Hotline at 707-576-3429. Public notification of any in-season change to conform state regulations to federal regulations is made through the NMFS Ocean Salmon Hotline at 1-800-662-9825. This is Gabriel Zucker with KMUD.
And now, a press release from the City of Eureka. Road construction work for sewer lateral replacements. The City of Eureka's contractor will be performing sewer lateral replacements on a few high-traffic streets Tuesday, April 14th through Friday, April 17th, weather permitting. Work is scheduled in coordination with the Eureka City Schools spring break in an effort to minimize traffic impacts. This work will be performed between the hours of approximately 7 a.m. and 5 p.m., and temporary detours will be set up. The anticipated schedule of work is Tuesday, the 14th, on Harris Street between W and Dolbear Streets, Thursday the 16th on West Avenue between Myrtle Avenue and 13th Street, and on Friday the 17th on S Street between Boone and Hay Street. Please plan for partial lane closures and detours in these planned work areas. The patience and cooperation of motorists, bicyclists, and pedestrians in the vicinity of the work zone is greatly appreciated. Redwood Community Radio acknowledges that its transmitter sites are located on the unceded territory of the Tsingkiyon, Wailaki, Wiyot, Wilkut, and Kato people. We honor ancestors past, present, and emerging and acknowledge the ongoing cultural, spiritual, and physical connection that these tribes have to the region. Also, a programming note for tomorrow. For the evening of April 14th, expect a full hour of Mendocino County Public Affairs content starting at 5:30 p.m., covering the District 3 Board of Supervisors Forum, courtesy of Mendo Voice. We look forward to bringing more Mendocino coverage to our news broadcast. That's all for tonight's broadcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks to our engineer, Javier Rodriguez. Thanks to our reporters, Daniel Mintz and Gabriel Zucker. KMA News is online. You can find us on KMA.org and now streaming on podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can download our stories and newscasts for offline listening during your rural commutes. You can also follow us on social media at KMA News, including Facebook and Instagram. If you have tips for a story we should follow, you can give us a call at 707-923-2605 or send an email to news@kmod.org. I'd also like to remind folks, before the end of our broadcast, that our spring membership drive is April 13th to the 22nd. Please click the green donate button on kmud.org or call 707-923-3911. That donation number again is 707-923-3911. Your donations help keep our local news on the air. Redwood Community Radio is funded by Press Forward, the national movement to strengthen communities by reinvigorating local news. Learn more at pressforward.news. Reporting for KMUD, I'm April Lewis. Stay tuned in.